Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, we've got some racing and football. What better topics to talk about right now? However, the star of the show, it's not me, it's the man himself. Scoreboard update extraordinaire, it's Nathaniel Finch.
Great to be with you from our Monument Circle studios. I'm Nathaniel Finch, Kylan Talley, our producer coach. A loaded show tonight. I got a lot to get to over the next 5 minutes. Plenty of live MLB games, including the Cubs. Big time comeback. We'll get to that. Pacers play tomorrow. There's more NBA going on today. Playoffs in the Basketball Association and in NHL. Colts drafting on Thursday. We just touched on that a little bit. We'll talk about that later on. IU, big news from there. Let's get right into it. The Cubs. They lost in a doubleheader. They lost their first game earlier, 3-2 to the Marlins. These games at Wrigley Field. What did they do? Well, they got down early. Then they get to the bottom of the sixth, down 3-1. This is how they get their first run, and it was a much-needed one here for the Chicago Cubs. Here's Canario, the first knock to get him on the board with a home run.
Permitting.
Swing and a high fly ball. Crushed left field, and he got that one.
Permitted.
Second. Cubs have the lead. Line drive. Base hit left field. Neat goes in. Here comes Morrell. Throw to the plate is cut off. Christopher's in. Bush in the second. Cubs have the lead.
That double by Bush gave the Cubs a 4-3 lead. A little bit of insurance here. Bottom of the sixth. Let's get one more run. It's a blooper from Garrett Cooper.
Fires. Squirt through. Around third and in to score is Bush. Cooper delivers. It's 5-3.
All right, so Cubs currently in the ninth inning, 5-3. They continue to lead top of the ninth, waiting on that one to go final. Some other scores for you tonight. Cincinnati, a win at home. They defeat the Angels 7-5. The Guardians lead and win 6-3 over the Oakland Athletics. The Cardinals fall at home 12-5 against the Brewers was that score. Tigers also home losers 4-3. That final score, the Twins go in Detroit, win that one. Phillies win 9-5. Over the White Sox. Chicago nearly no hit. Through seven innings, had yet to record a knock. They get it in the eighth inning. Then they put up a five spot in the ninth. They still fall 9-5. The final score there. Indianapolis Indians, they fall today. They had won four straight games, all at Victory Field this week, all against the St. Paul Saints. But today, St. Paul just had their number. They win that one 12-1, the final score from Victory Field. The Beloit Skycarp defeat the South Bend Cubs 10-7 was that final. We do have one winner, though, for you in the minor leagues. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps 7-5. They defeat the Dayton Dragons. Now let's take a look at some NBA scores. The playoffs tonight, home teams have won so far. However, the one that's going live, the visiting team, the Lakers, currently ahead 67-64. That is early third. The rest of the scores today, the Cleveland Cavaliers won 97-83 over the Magic. The T-Wolves defeated the Suns handily in Minnesota. 120-95 was that score. Finally, the Knicks take down Joel Embiid and the 76ers. 111-104, that final score. And we'll touch on some NHL playoffs. Best time of year for those two sports. The Hurricanes defeat the Islanders 3-1. Bruins currently had 4-0 after two periods. They've got one more to go against the Maple Leafs. As far as the Pacers, they play tomorrow night, 7 o'clock TNT against the Bucks. They're in Milwaukee for two games tomorrow night, Tuesday night. I'll tell you when they're home next.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Spring football. Let's talk spring football. Dr. Lynn Clark, Irish 101, spring football at Notre Dame. How'd the blue-gold game go today, Lynn?
Well, it was the 15th and final practice of the spring, culminating in that 93rd edition of the Blue Gold game. And it was the blue behind junior quarterback Steve Angeli defeating the gold 28-21. Angeli in the game, 17 of 25 passing for 228 yards and two scores. Won a 21-yard scoring strike to tight end Eli Raridan, who bobbled the ball as he crossed the goal line. Mm-hmm. That was a big day for the tight end, Bob. He has battled injuries for the past couple of years. Raridan on the day, five catches, 41 yards. The second TD pass by Angeli came late in the fourth quarter when he hit graduate transfer Chris Mitchell on an 62-yard bomb. So Angeli with a pretty good game. Kenny Michie, the golden quarterback for the gold team, 12 of 29 for 123 yards. He had a touchdown toss of 26 yards to Micah Gilbert, but also threw an interception. The freshman Micah Gilbert out of Charlotte, North Carolina, two touchdown scores. The other reception was from quarterback C.J. Carr, who played for both squads today. He was a combined 15 of 23 for 165 yards. Riley Leonard did not play in the game. So a big game receiving-wise for Micah Gilbert. But rushing, Bob, here's a strange one. Out of the blue, Anais Williams, a freshman from Hannibal, Missouri, 10 carries for 40 yards in the score, while Jabron Payne led the goal with 59 yards on 10 carries. Special teams-wise, Mitch Jeter, the transfer from South Carolina, missed on a 50-yard field goal attempt. And defensively, Andran's Drake Bowen tied for the lead in tackles for the blue team, seven tackles, but Kahano Kia out of Hawaii for the gold, a team-high 12 tackles. Seven sacks in the game, three for the gold, four for the blue. It was a defensively dominated game, but just a yeoman's effort today by everybody. Nobody really flashed except for the freshman Micah Gilbert, but it was a good preview of the Notre Dame squad that will open up the season down at Texas A&M.
Well, won't most of the media attention be taken up by the quarterback battle? Am I accurate on that?
Yeah, everybody was wanting to know how the quarterbacks. It's really going to shape up for a good competition come fall.
Right.
Riley Leonard will be healthy, but I think you're going to find out the player that wants it the most. And Angeli had flashes of brilliance in the game, in addition to Kenny Michie, but really C.J. Carr, for just a freshman, looked very polished. So it's going to be very interesting to see that battle coming up prior to the Texas A&M game. But Notre Dame with a lot of injuries, a lot of players did not play. Jack Kaiser really didn't play in the game today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a chance for some players to get some practice time. But Marcus Freeman in the postgame press conference says their goal to learn the positions, learn the system under new offensive coordinator Mike Dembrock, but to have the players to just get better and to progress.
What'll be different about with a new coordinator? What do you think will be different about the offense?
Well, it's going to be more of a pro-style quarterback, and there was mostly throwing in the ball game today. So I think if you can kind of mix it up and pull out some of the wrinkles that he used down at LSU and prior at an earlier stint with Notre Dame, you're going to see some familiarity in an offense. But I think it's really going to be predicated on who is going to lead the offense. And you've got Kenny Michie, who's more of an RPO kind of a guy, and Angeli's more of a straight-back quarterback thrower. And then Ryan Leonard is kind of the same mold. So I think it really is going to determine the offensive mindset is who's going to be the starting quarterback.
That's going to be the topic of consideration, is it not? That's going to be anybody talks about.
That's going to make for an interesting conversation all summer. But you know what? It's just going to make that much more interest come fall camp. But, Bob, another big afternoon at Notre Dame today, in addition to the Blue Gold game, the number one lacrosse team beating North Carolina 14-6. The number one Irish close out the season next week on the road at Virginia before a very tough ACC tournament.
Outstanding. You know I love lacrosse. I appreciate you getting that in there. Dr. Lynn Clark, Irish 101. Lynn, as always, can't do it without you. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bob.
Thanks so much. Let's talk some baseball. Indianapolis Indians and St. Paul tonight. St. Paul 12-4 winners over the Indians. Howard Kelman, the fame of the Indianapolis Indians, joins me. Howard, tough night for the Indians tonight.
Yes, Bob, and it wasn't even as close as the final score indicates because the Indians got three runs in the bottom half of the ninth inning, so they were down 12-1. It started on a positive note. Leover Peguero's sacrifice fly in the first inning gave the Indians the lead, and they held that for three innings at 1-0. But St. Paul got a couple of unearned runs after two Indians errors in the fourth to take the lead, a lead it never would relinquish. And then they got two more the next inning and then busted it open with five runs and then a home run. And before you knew it, it was 12-1. And you can shrug a night off like this, Bob, when you've won four in a row, which the Indians had done.
Hey, Howard, I got to run to this break. Can you hang on? We'll talk more about this game.
I would be honored to do so.
You're a good man. Howard Kelman and I will come back. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Final from Chicago, I'm Nathaniel Finch. The Cubs, of course, lost their first of a doubleheader after a rainout a couple nights ago. They lost to the Marlins 3-2 was that score earlier this afternoon. They get their revenge. They were down 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning, and here is how it sounded.
Driven to right. Moniak deep corner. The first Grammy for Tyler Stevenson.
And that would be how the Reds got their lead earlier. They were down 2-1 in the first inning. They put up four in a single inning with a single swing with that Tyler Stevenson grand slam. The Reds win 7-5. As far as the Cubs, though, when they were down, they didn't get their four in a single swing. They had to do it gradually. First, it was a home run. Here's it.
Mitting. Swing and a high fly ball. Crushed left field. And he got that one.
So we're not too worried yet, right? It's still 3-2. You're still down. Well, here's the next swing that got the lead.
Line drive, base hit left field. Neat goes in. Here comes Morrell. Throw to the plate is cut off. Christopher's in. Bush in the second. Cubs have the lead.
Up 4-3 now. Not done. Let's make this 5-3. It's what the final score ends up being. It's how they finished the bottom of the sixth.
Squirt through. Around third and in to score is Bush. Cooper delivers. It's 5-3.
That final score was 5-3. The Cubs get the win after losing the first. They get the second. Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Chris Norton from WITZ in Jasper talking about, are we playing baseball all day in Jasper today, Chris?
The Jasper Baseball Invitational today from Rexor Field started at 11 a.m. and just wrapped up about 45 minutes ago. So four consecutive games on the airways for me today, and they didn't disappoint, Coach. We saw some great baseball start to finish.
Well, everyone who understands baseball in the state of Indiana understands that Jasper has an illustrious history and loves the sport of baseball in that community. This is your basic labor of love today for you, was it not?
Well, absolutely.
Hey, you know what?
Is.
Before you do that, hang on a second. This is embarrassing. I had Howard Kelman on the line, and Howard, my age is catching up with me. I am so sorry. I was excited to talk to Chris, but I did not mean to slight a Hall of Fame broadcaster, even though I just did. So I apologize for that. Indians lose to St. Paul, and it was a tough night at the ball game. But tell me about how difficult it was for the Indians tonight.
Well, this one stat will tell you everything you need to know. The Indians pitching staff threw over 200 pitches. Over 200 pitches thrown in this game by the Indian staff. So that tells you. And St. Paul had a good night, and St. Paul was due. Remember, the Indians won the first four games in the series. Started off with the Indians ahead 1-0, but St. Paul turned it around. And there were a lot of walks. There were some home runs. And the Indians were down 12-1 going to the bottom of the ninth. They scored three runs, made it 12-4. You just shrug it off. You say, hey, it's one of those nights, and you get them tomorrow. This isn't football. We do this every day around here.
Right.
You got to get them tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? That's exactly. I used to tell my kids when I was coaching baseball, you basically have to have amnesia. You can't worry. You have to point yourself in the right direction. What happened last night happened last night. You got to move on, and that's exactly what they have to do.
Right, and it's the same, too, if you've had a good day. Tomorrow's the new day. Baseball
right.
mirrors life because you have to get up and do it every day. And so 1:35 starting time for the kids. Bluey and Bingo will be at the ballpark tomorrow. And Eric Lauer is the starting pitcher, the probable for the Indians.
All right, what's the schedule next week? Come back home and come back. What's next week's schedule?
They go on the road. They'll bus. The Indians will bus to Omaha, 10-hour bus ride after the game tomorrow, and play 6 in Omaha beginning Tuesday next week.
You are a Hall of Famer for doing a 10-hour bus ride. Let me tell you, Howard Kelman, the legendary voice of the Indianapolis Indians, Hall of Famer extraordinaire. And when you get to in Victory Field, you need to go buy his book. I've read it twice. It's that good. 61 Humorous Inspiring Lessons I Learned from Baseball. Howard, thanks so much for the call. Have a safe trip. Have a great week.
All right, as always, Bob, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Chris Norton from WITC's back. Chris, I apologize for my lack of memory. How's that sound? So, day of baseball at Jasper. You did 4 games today?
Yeah, 4 games, about 15 minutes in between. Let them reset. And I was with another Hall of Famer, Ray Howard, former baseball coach at Jasper.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we had ourselves a time at the ballpark today. It was Jasper, Columbus East. We had Martinsville, and Valparaiso made the drive down. Those guys were
troopers
today. They drove down this morning, and they're driving right back up tonight. So a long day for the Valparaiso Vikings. And you know what? It started back with the Wildcats and Columbus East early on, and it was the Olympians actually early on. A sack fly from Blake Borchardt would drive in Chase Neese. That score would hold until the third inning. But the Wildcats breaking through, they would bat around on their way to an 11-1 win in that opening game. Andrew Noblet would go the distance. 3 Ks, 2 walks, just 1 run in that game, 11-1, your final in that one. And actually, in that third inning, do you want to point out, Braxton Brosmer had not 1, not 2, but 3 RBI in that same inning. 2 Wildcats would score twice in that go-around. So Jasper would advance to the championship. They would have a long wait until the 6:30-ish first pitch on that last game. And in between, we would have Martinsville, and then we would have Valparaiso. And Valparaiso also getting that big inning early on. 11-0 would be your lead at that point. Now, Martinsville would battle back. When you're down that big, you know, it's kind of tough, but they meant business at that point. 2-run home run from Reese Wolf. And I bring that up because that's not the only time he would leave the park on the day. But 15-4 would be your final in that second semifinal game. On to the consolation, Martinsville. And we would see Columbus East in that one. Martinsville, again, another Reese Wolf home run in that one, building up an 8-3 lead. But Columbus East comes back in the end. Marcus Wilkinson, the one that walks it off, 8-9 would be your final. For the winner of the consolation, that third place would go to Columbus East on the day. And, Coach, I think we saved the best game for last. Jasper and Valparaiso, two of the top teams in their respective half of the state, if you will. And it would be Valparaiso early. Jasper starter had a little bit of trouble. Then it was senior Cole Trevino that came in, settled him down. One run did get in on his watch. He inherited bases loaded with one out. He would shepherd the Wildcats down the home stretch where the offense took over. 4 runs in inning number 5. Actually, I think it ended up being 5. 4 RBI from A.J. Holzman. Back-to-back hits. 2 RBI off a double. 2 more off the single. And that single would give the Wildcats their lead. And they would hold that to the end. The final, 7-6. The bases would be loaded, with Jack Levin, the sophomore, coming in, would induce a pop fly in the infield, and then a double play, 1-2-3 to end it, and the Wildcats keep the Baseball Invitational Championship right here.
I think it's a great event. The coaches, I'm sure, feel the same way. You get an early indication of where your team is. I mean, when you're playing competition like this, and a fantastic facility, and I think it's a huge deal for everybody involved, quite frankly.
It absolutely is, because not only does it get the fan base involved for all these teams, which is great on that part, but it gives you pressure out there. You're setting up like this is a dry run for sectionals. If you have something go wrong early, who's your reliever? There's a lot of pressure. Game never over, fighting to the end. And just overall a great day of baseball. And every team that competed today is going to be better for having played two today.
You're the best. Chris Norton from WITZ, big day of baseball at Jasper. Chris, thanks for thinking of me. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Chris Norton, an alumnus of Indiana Sports Talk, an alumnus in the studio production. He did a great job, worked on the show for a couple of years. Talented, talented young man. All right, coming up, we've got a lot to go. We've had we have racing coming up with Mark James on IndyCar. Adam Alexander going to talk to me about NASCAR in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk some basketball. Kristen Airy from the Pacers. Pacers and the Bucks get underway tomorrow. So we'll all be anxiously watching, finding out what's going on with that. They play Tuesday. They play tomorrow, and then they're back in action on Tuesday. So it's Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday. So be ready. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, one of the dynamics, as you know, the health of Giannis and whether he's going to get in or at what point he would play. They don't anticipate him playing tomorrow. Stranger things have happened, so I would think be ready for just about anything. But an exciting regular season. Now you move on and hope that the Pacers are able to continue with the momentum that they have, and that'll be fun to watch. We'll talk to Chris coming up later on tonight find out what his thoughts are as they go into this incredibly important first game of the playoffs. I always think that first game's important because statistically you win game one, you really give yourself a boost, and it's enormously important for your ability to win that particular series. We have that to talk about, too. Plus, we're going to continue to talk about football. Draft coming up on Thursday, NFL draft on Thursday. That should and will command a lot of attention from people.
This time, 5 days from now, we will know who the Colts' first-round pick is, assuming that they do pick one. Chris Ballard didn't do a whole lot, the Colts' general manager, of course, throughout the offseason in terms of bringing in free agents. We're counting a lot on what he can do here in the draft. They re-signed guys like Michael Pittman Jr., Kenny Moore, Julian Blackman, Grover Stewart, signed a couple impactful guys to extensions as well, doing a lot in-house, but not bringing in free agents outside of the building. Chris, why is that?
I mean, look, the majority of your best players on your team, you hope they come from the draft, okay? When you're building through free agency, I think y'all know my philosophy on this, and I think you can look through the league. You can't get all your best players through free agency. Too expensive, and, you know, it doesn't last over time. I think the draft's always important to get. I think in today's football, these guys got to come in and play. I mean, they do. They got to come in and play.
Hoping to get a couple guys who can come in and play right away, starting with that number 15 overall pick, assuming the Colts keep it. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, start of the draft. The Colts have 7 total selections in this year's draft. And again, Chris Ballard likes to have more than that. I wouldn't be surprised if he trades back and gets some more picks. But for now, they have the number 17 overall pick. As far as the Pacers, they play tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, TNT. They're in Milwaukee, likely without Giannis Antetokounmpo will be the Bucks. The Pacers, for the most part, pretty healthy, a couple minor injuries. But they'll play tomorrow night. They'll play again in Milwaukee on Tuesday. Then at Gainbridge Fieldhouse next Friday night and next Sunday night. You can watch those two here in Indianapolis. If we need a Game 5, it'll be Tuesday the 30th in Milwaukee. And then we go from there. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Nathaniel Finch.
This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Let's talk some racing. Who better to talk about racing than a recent inductee into the Indiana Sports Writers and Sportscasters Hall of Fame, the legendary voice of the Indianapolis 500 and the NTT IndyCar Series, Mark James. Hello, Mark.
40th anniversary of the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach for the NTT IndyCar Series. It's, you know, it's one of those events, Coach, that you just, when you say the name, people didn't know exactly what you're talking about and where. It's kind of like Indy. When you say Long Beach, anybody who's even remotely connected to racing knows that this is one of the North America's great races, one of North America's great events for sure.
Yeah, it is, and being in Long Beach doesn't hurt either because it's kind of, I've been there. I was at a time when our daughter Stephanie lived in California. She lived in L.A. for a while, and so it was incumbent upon Penny and me to visit her. And Long Beach happened to be one of those spots that we enjoyed quite a bit. And so, yeah.
It's not Plainfield, but it's picturesque in its own right.
Well, it's you know, they do the best they can. You know, Plainfield's Plainfield. What can I tell you? Tell me about Felix Rosenquist.
I'll tell you what, it's a great story. I mean, he's a likable guy, and, you know, so much uncertainty the past couple of years with his future with Errol McLaren. And, you know, prior to that, he drove for Ganassi. And, you know, Felix Rosenquist is just a likable guy. And quite frankly, the front row is a good story all in all. I mean, you got Will Power and, you know, his prowess at setting on pole. It's been a while since either one of those guys have gotten to victory lane. And I think they're guys that have garnered a lot of respect to the paddock from their competitors. And I will say, though, that in doing some research and getting ready for this weekend, one of the stats that jumped off the page at me is that in the 40th anniversary of 40 years of this event, only six times has the pole winner won the race. So it's certainly a race that strategy can play into, you know, improving your position as long as your pit stops fall the right way. It's 85 laps, so it'll be a definite two-stop strategy, although some of those people starting mid-pack may want to try to go off sequence a little bit, maybe try a three-stop strategy if they can get that to work. But back to your original point, I mean, Felix Rosenquist, a likable guy, and a lot of people very, very happy that he was able to garner that pole for Meyer Shank Racing.
So historically, who are the teams and drivers who've conquered this track?
Alexander Rossi went back-to-back a couple of years ago. I believe it was 18-19. And Colton Herta, very dominant there a few years ago. Kyle Kirkwood got his first career win last year for Andretti Autosport. And, you know, he qualifying didn't go quite the way that he had hoped, but I think he'll be there come race day. So, certainly Andretti Autosport, Team Penske, going to be awfully strong with Scott McLaughlin, Will Power, and Joseph Newgarden. I think that the cars that bear watching would be Pato O'Ward and Alexander Rossi with Errol McLaren.
Right.
I mean, surprisingly, Coach, they didn't get anybody into the round of 12, and that's a bit of a surprise, and I'm sure that team as a whole was very, very disappointed in their qualifying performance today.
Yes, yeah, especially with O'Ward's practice performance. You know, you look at it, you would have thought he would have had a pretty good day. Unfortunately, he didn't, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the head scratcher at times for these teams. I mean, you see it happen week in and week out. I mean,
right. For
instance, like Graham Rahal made it into the round of 12, and I don't think he was any better than 15th on the speed chart through the first couple of practice sessions. Marcus Ericsson is one that we didn't notice as well, and he moved on deep into qualifying. But, you know, a lot of times we don't know what these teams are working on in practice, whether they're working on, you know, qualifying sims or race day sims or whatever, and that's why sometimes we see guys pop up to the top of timing and scoring. And also, sometimes they outthink themselves and they throw a little something at the car after that last practice session, and it ends up biting them in qualifying, and it keeps them from moving on.
All right, what's your schedule? What's your on-air and online schedule tomorrow?
Well, we're on the usual outlets, including our flagship station in Indianapolis, the Fan, and we'll have a morning warm-up at 9 o'clock local time at noon Eastern tomorrow. It'll run about 30 minutes or so. It's a final tune-up before we go racing, and then The 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow afternoon, complete flag to flag coverage of the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. And we look forward to all of the action. And then we'll no sooner get the dust settled on Long Beach and everybody will pack their things up and get ready to head to beautiful Barber Motorsports Park next weekend.
I want, in my next life, I want to be you. You know that. You understand that. This one I'm having right now, you know, it's not exciting enough. I don't do enough. But my next one, I want to have your schedule, for heaven's sakes.
I think you've done okay, my friend.
I think you've done okay. I'm still happy for you for being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm happy for you and Desiree and the family. Mark James, make sure you catch the IndyCar action in Long Beach. Listen to the network. Go online. Follow it. It's going to be great as we continue the countdown to Indy. Mark, thank you. I know you're busy. Thanks for the time. Have a great day tomorrow.
Talk to you next weekend, Coach. Thank you.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much. We continue the racing extravaganza. Adam Alexander, FS1, joins us. Adam, I hope you knew. And Mark made it into the Indiana Broadcasters and Sports Writers and Sportscasters Hall of Fame. The induction was last weekend.
I didn't know that. Congratulations to Mark. That's awesome.
Yeah, how many years did you work with him on the 500?
I was there 6 years, so there were 6 years there where we were together.
It's a great story. He's like you, he's a great friend and doing well. Tell me about your time. Have you been to Long Beach? Have you done races at Long Beach?
I've never done a race at Long Beach. You know, we of course go to California a few times a year,
right?
Fontana,
right?
You know, for a long time, which was over east of Los Angeles. We raced the last couple of years at the Coliseum, the L.A. Coliseum, with the Clash as they converted that. And so we've done that the last few years. And then, you know, obviously up north to Sonoma. But I've never done Long Beach. So that's one I've not had an opportunity to be a part of.
Yeah, but you're at the fabled Talladega Speedway for some action this weekend. So, you know, that probably balances out, I suppose.
It's a good spot. It's not Long Beach, totally different, but history, tradition, it's all there.
Right. It's hard not to mention Ricky Bobby. I've told you this before when I was teaching. Yeah, I've told you this story. I was teaching at IUP. I was teaching history of sport class. I think you can appreciate this. So when I was talking about different sports, you know, I would talk about, you know, like baseball. I would start out by saying, so here are some of the names you need to understand historically in terms of this sport. You know, Babe Ruth, and you go through those names. And I'd go to NASCAR, and I would go Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, Ricky Bobby, you know, and I'm going, and I'm writing this on the board, right? And I'm expecting somebody to laugh and say something, and it would be silence, and I'd turn around and go, hold on a second, Ricky Bobby, you have nothing for Ricky Bobby? And they would look at me like I was from another planet, and so... That's what happens when you try to have a little fun in the classroom.
That's really good. I love it. And you know what? Well, you can't imagine how often that gets brought up. We can't go to Talladega without the movie being brought up every year.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand. And it should be, quite frankly. And that's just how it is. All right, you got time we got to take a break, get some scores in, and talk it up a little bit. So if you can, hang on, then we'll continue this conversation with the man himself, Adam Alexander. We're talking about NASCAR. They are in Talladega. Should be a lot of fun. So, Adam, hang in there with me, okay?
Yeah, you got it.
All right, perfect. We'll come back, spend some more time talking about that, and just to talk more racing. This is my racing half hour. We're going to have some fun. Scoreboard update coming up with Nathaniel Finch. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Nathaniel Finch with you from Monument Circle. It is Little 500 weekend in Bloomington. A lot going on the campus of Indiana University. It was the spring game a couple days ago for Kurt Cignetti and the football team, but no one busier than Mike Woodson right now. IU basketball, a disappointing season, early exit from the Big Ten tournament. They didn't make the NCAA tournament, so what have they done? Well, Mike Woodson has gone and put together so far the number one recruiting class in the nation. They got the number one recruit in Umar Ballo, a 7-foot center from Arizona, to replace Khalil Ware, who's going to the NBA. And today, they just got the number 10 recruit. He's a 6'3 guard from Stanford. His name is Cannon Carlisle. Gave you just under 12 points a game last year. And hey, Woodson likes the Pac-12. He also got a top 20 recruit in Miles Rice. He'll replace Xavier Johnson, who's graduating. Rice, a point guard from Washington State University, had a very impressive NCAA tournament and a good year last year. A great recruiting class for Miles Woodson. All right, let's talk some Major League Baseball. The Reds, 7-5 winners over the Angels. It was the 50th career save for Alexis Diaz. Graham Ashcraft started the game and pitched pretty well, but Tyler Stevenson hit the grand slam in the first inning to take the lead for the Reds, one they would not relinquish. 7-5 was that final score. The Cubs lost their first one 3-2 to the Marlins just at Wrigley Field. They played a second in the doubleheader. They were down. They went up with four runs in the sixth. They defeat the Marlins 5-3 was that final score. Guardians win 6-3 over the A's. The Brewers defeat the Cardinals 12-5. Tigers fall to the Twins 4-3. White Sox down to the Phillies 9-5.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Adam Alexander with me from FS1. What happened on the race? Did you do the Xfinity today?
Oh, yeah, I was there. It was awesome.
Who won?
We had an exciting finish, double overtime, and it was Jesse Love, a rookie, 19 years old, who he was outstanding. Yeah, it was. You know, he's been kind of knocking on the door.
Right. And
he won the pole for the first two races this year and led a bunch of laps, but just, you know, couldn't quite get over the hump. And then, boom, I mean, you know, he just sticks with it, and was getting better and better and finishing in front of where, you know, he was running throughout most of the races. And today was there at the end and was able to stay out of the messes, and there were a handful because it is Talladega, and that's the nature of the beast. But when it was all said and done, he was where he needed to be and was able to close the deal and get his first career win.
Well, you know what? How cool is that? That young, unflappable on that type of track with all the things, as you point out, all the things that can happen to find his way into the winner's circle is incredible.
Yeah, it was good. It was, it was a fun race. And I will say the first two segments of the race were, you know, there's a lot of rhythm, a lot of racing under the green flag. And then we got into the final stage, and we had a couple of wrecks, and a couple of the good cars got eliminated, a handful of cars we felt like could win and had showed a lot of good speed in both qualifying and the race today. They got knocked out, and so that changed the complexion of things, and it added some inexperience at the front, which, you know, makes it more difficult to form runs and create the kind of racing that you would want in the draft at Talladega.
Right,
but
right.
At the end of the day, it's Jesse Love to get the win. We had a lot of fun.
So tell me on the Cup side, tell me about Kyle Larson and qualifications and the situation he had today.
Yeah, they found something with the car when they were pushing it to the grid, and it had already been through the inspection line, and NASCAR didn't like that, and so they decided, you know, to – I've started the back. There could be some more penalties coming. We'll, you know, how all that's evaluated as the weekend goes on, and then what will happen this week. Usually those penalties are announced on a Tuesday. So we'll see, you know, if that comes out this week. But, he's a guy that is, for whatever reason, just kind of struggled in the draft. This kind of racing has not been great to Kyle Larson. Having said that, I mean, you don't have to start up front to be great. That this has become a little bit of a track position race, and you got to play the fuel mileage game, and that's frustrating to the drivers, but it's just kind of where we are right now. So That being the case, that will create some challenges on Larson coming from the back. Mm. But you know what? It's a long race, 500 miles at Talladega. So many things can happen here, and so we'll certainly be watching Larson. And you know, sometimes being in the back can be a benefit because you get guys racing up front and an accident happens, and because you're not there, you're not in the middle of it by being in the back. So we'll see. What the fate holds for Kyle Larson tomorrow, but unfortunately unable to qualify, and he'll have to come from the rear in this race.
So what surprises were there for you in this qualification for the Cup race tomorrow?
Well, you know, Ford does not want to race this year, which is shocking, really. They won a championship last year, and Ford does not want to race in the top three series at NASCAR this year, trucks, Xfinity, or Cup, which is nuts. Because they swept championship weekend, won all three titles in November at Phoenix. But if you look at qualifying, they've been really good on the drafting tracks and qualifying. Mm-hmm, Michael McDowell's up there, Austin Cindric, Todd Gilliland. I mean, there's a host, Joey Logano, Chris Buescher. There's a host of Fords that made it to the final round of qualifying. We'll start in the top 10. And you know what? This is an opportunity race. You got some drivers that have dug a hole early this season.
Hey, Adam, I'm sorry. Can you hang on one more segment?
Yeah, you got it.
Outstanding. We'll come back with Adam Alexander on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome back. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Adam Alexander rejoins us from FS1, talking about Talladega. I'm still trying to process Ford's dearth of wins in these past few races. I'm sure they're scratching their heads and trying to figure out why. Anybody have a working theory on why they're not doing better?
Well, they made some changes to their car this year and just have really not found the sweet spot with it. And, you know, when you look at it, Ryan Blaney is, you know, the defending champ. He's been fairly consistent and done some good stuff for sure. And he's in a great position points-wise, and he's created a little bit of grace, even though they had an accident and didn't get the finish they wanted last week at Texas. He's got some breathing room. The only other driver in the top 10 when you look at the points, or in a playoff position when you look at points on the Ford side, the next in line would be Chase Briscoe. And then you've got Chris Buescher and Joey Logano that are right there as well. But you know, there's not a lot of breathing room for those drivers. And when you don't have wins, you know, you start adding more and more drivers to the win list. Chase Elliott won last week. He had not been to victory lane. That keeps pushing that cut back, right? And puts the pressure on drivers to go out and win a race so they lock themselves into the playoffs, because – you just don't have that margin for error without it. And because they're not performing as consistently, it makes it more and more difficult.
As if being behind the wheel of a NASCAR car isn't enough pressure, you have to add that into the mix.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. But you know what? It's part of it. And I would say that last year at this time, they had one win, and, you know, Joey Logano had won at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and that was in the drafting configuration. And so, Ryan Blaney, the champion, didn't win until Memorial Day weekend in the Coke 600, and it does take time. And so what we've seen, and Joey Logano's talked about this in years when he won the championship, if you can stay in front of it until you find the speed, you just have to get right hot at the right time.
Right.
Exactly what Ryan Blaney did last year, winning a couple of races in the playoffs. He gets in the championship four and he wins the title. And so sometimes you just have to manage through the bad times, keep your head above water until you find the speed. And there are ebbs and flows, and we see it every year. It's hard to imagine that right now when you look at the strength of Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs Racing and the way they're turning out wins and top fives, top tens, and so on. But we've seen it before, and And, you know, this is a big opportunity race for them tomorrow just because of how good they typically are. And, you know, if you were to put a short list together of drivers that you would expect to be very good in this race, a number of them would be from the Ford camp. So many believe tomorrow's a really big day for them as a manufacturer.
He's Adam Alexander, the host of NASCAR Race Hub on FS1 and part of the Xfinity Series team. Adam, it's always an honor to have you. It's always a great pleasure. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the race tomorrow, and we'll try to track you down next week.
Sounds great, Bob. We appreciate it, and you have a great night.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Adam Alexander from FS1. Should be a fun race at Talladega. We're back talking some basketball on Indiana Sports Talk.